Look, I don't know about you, but I'm looking over at the teens. I'm like, look, man, there's a lot of more mature individuals up here kind of shaking it, you know, like getting it down for Jesus. And it ain't as easy as y'all think it is, all right? So I really appreciate the out-of-yourself attitude by those that, because, you know, singing, let me tell you something. I led songs for like 1 week when I led the church in Memphis. And that was it, man. My wife was like, you're done, man. You can't do this anymore. You're killing the spirit. I mean, and I was trying to be like, you know, energetic, but anyway, I had to say that. I have a confession. I actually took one of y'all songbooks by accident, took it home to Potomac Valley, so I put it back. So I make sure you guys had that. So forgive me. I mean, I don't have to pray or nothing, do I? Have to get, keep going? All right. So, if you don't know me, my name is Ryan and Grubb, and it's great to be back. We've been here, I don't know how many times now, two or three, four times. We spent some time with you guys, but we really really appreciate being able to come back, be able to share some thoughts, be able to be with you guys. We spent some time with the Thompsons last night at their house and had like some crazy awesome food and laughed and did personality tests and had all kinds of fun. We did all kinds of crazy stuff together. It was fun, but just had a good time and really want to appreciate the Pews for having us into their home, you know, taking care of us like we're family. You know, just be praying for us. We don't know what God's got planned. You know, there's, you know, just pray. We don't know what's going on. My wife is here with me. We've been married 15 years now this month. Yeah. There is a God in heaven. And he loves me, I guess. So 15 years is a long time to put up with me. And then my awesome kids, Candy and Emery, are here with us. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And again, I appreciate y'all's, and I said y'all. You hear that?
Y'all.
Y'all, you know. It's all right. So that Tennessean coming at me. We appreciate the time we had. We send greetings from the Potomac Valley Church, of course. Will and Tasha Archer doing a really, really good job there, really bonding our churches. We actually have just finished a 21-day fast in January. We've now gone to permanent regional services to kind of build faith, giving people responsibilities in Fredericksburg, Stafford, and Woodbridge. It's really it's a radical time for them there. People are having to get up and do song leading and ushering and everything else, things that they wouldn't have to do. Hopefully one day you'll see that here in Frederick. Amen. You'll see regional services going on in different places. I'm sure that's your heart to do that. Before we get started, and get into God's Word, I want to show you a quick clip from a movie called Coach Carter. And as you look at the clip, I want you to think about your journey personally right now today.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Sir, I just want to say thank you. You saved my life.
Thank you, sir. All of you.
If you haven't seen that movie, it's a true story about a team in Richmond, California. They live in a very, very poor part of Los Angeles, and their only hope of getting out of where they live is playing basketball. You've heard that. You've heard that with all sports, football, basketball. You've heard it in other ways. And so the demand by the coach is, hey, you know what? You're not going to play basketball unless you do your homework, unless you pass. Now, how many stories like that do you hear nowadays? It's not common. It wasn't common then. So that's what makes it so unique. But if you think about your inadequacies, it's easy to focus on them. Is it easy to focus on what you're not capable of doing?
Yeah.
I know it's easy for me to do that. If you're honest with yourself, you get up in the morning and you wash your face like I do. It's easy to do that. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 3, please. The title of this message is The Art of His Power. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity to even talk about who you are. God, to be able to get up and be able to use our hands and our feet and talk and smell things. And God, to be able to just even engage who you are is an impeccable gift, God. Father, I just pray this morning as we're looking at the Bible that people will not just look at church as this one-time demand of them opening their Bibles, but they'll look at their lives throughout the week and they'll allow you to become part of who they are. God, baptized, not baptized, studying the Bible doesn't make any difference. Father, your power is bigger than we can imagine, and we need to allow that to be how we think. We thank you so much for this time. Please help me get out of the way during this time. Please, God, bring your Holy Spirit, Father. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the book of Ephesians was written about 60 to 62 A.D. And Apostle Paul, of course, wrote the letter, but he wrote it while he was in prison. Okay? And I'm not talking about federal prison where there's cable TV. I'm talking about prison. Okay? In the old world, okay? Prison where there's nothing going on except people getting crucified and killed because they're different from those who are taking care of them. Yet he's writing a letter to communicate Jesus. A man who was a Jew who killed Christians prior to that. Yet God was using Paul to take a Gentile community in Ephesus and helping them to understand they cannot think humanistically anymore. And in verse 20 it says this, in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, "Now to him who by the power that is working within us is able to do far beyond all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." All generations. All generations. Guys, America is dying. It's dying. And it's not because we don't have enough technology or we don't have enough education. We actually have too many programs and too much going on to do what? To think about Jesus. I got two thoughts I want to share with you this morning before we move on to the communion. The first is, you have to understand God's power and you have to dwell in it. The power to dwell. When I mean dwell, a lot of us in America go, "Oh, dwell, man, are you dwelling in that? You know, oh, you're so sad, are you dwelling?" You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about dwelling does not mean that. In the Greek term, dwelling, I'm going to see if I can pronounce this right, okeo, probably pronounced it wrong, it means to inhabit. When you dwell in something, it doesn't mean it's always bad.
Right.
And in fact, if you dwell in something that you love to do, like theater or music, or sports, like me. I mean, I don't really dwell in sports that much. A little bit, I dwell in it. You make it your home. It's how you think. It's what you do. It identifies who you are. There are people all around you in Frederick that have no identity. They live next door to you.
Right.
You go to school with them. You're friends with their kids. You see them in the hallway. Maybe you don't even know who they are and they're a stranger on the street. But in order to understand God to the power, you have to dwell in his power. What do I mean by that? Well, think about the things you say to yourself that are not powerfully dwelling. "Well, you know what? That's kind of the way it is. I've always been like that and I'm never going to change." I guarantee you many of you have said that this week. How about, "I really never thought about it any other way. This is how I was raised. This is how I was taught. This is what people have told me all my life. I grew up like this. My family was like this. That's just how it is." And you settle for it. You know, Aaron Beck is a well-known cognitive therapist. Oh, I said cognitive therapist. Remember back in the day, we couldn't talk about that. But he says that negative thoughts will sabotage our best self. It will sabotage you and it will lead to you to a vicious cycle of misery. Teens, if you don't believe that, it will. Right now is your chance to break that chain before it builds. And we can all break it, but when you're younger, it's easier to do. You know, and sometimes you won't even know you're creating these patterns. Sometimes you won't even know they exist. You'll think, I'm going about my day, I'm doing well, I'm awesome, things are hard, or I'm just too busy to stop and think about it. Because when you do, you got to make a decision. The negative voice of Satan and his propaganda will keep you from dwelling in God. Well, I come to church. I read my Bible. I haven't studied the Bible with people. But are you dwelling? Are you dwelling in God? Frederick's waiting for you guys, man. They're waiting. God's waiting. He's waiting for you guys to love each other like you never before. He's waiting. Some reference scriptures you can use for this is Ephesians. You can write these down. Ephesians 3, verse 17. Psalms 84, verse 1. Exodus 15, verse 17. And 1 Kings 8, 13. These all deal with living in the dwelling of God. You know, you guys know me. I've been here a couple times. I've talked to you a couple times. You know that I used to be in the ministry. I'm out of the ministry. You know, I've gone to marriage counseling. Been in marriage counseling for a year. But in marriage counseling, I'm learning how to sit in my indwelling God and learning how to love His way. We all want what we want. But if you dwell in God, you dwell in pain also. You dwell in success. You dwell in failure. You dwell with each other. And it's helped me to understand that I can be okay with who I am and still dwell in God. Amen. You have to understand that that's important. As much as you want to help people become disciples, if you don't help yourself, you can forget it. Right. Forget it. And it's time for our churches to understand that. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it all, guys. I've been involved and I've done things. You got to understand that. But the marriage counseling has really helped me. I'm training to be a professional counselor right now. Man, I'm telling you right now, you will sit in pain. You will sit in other people's pain and you will sit in your own pain so you can gain glory. That's the beautiful thing about God that people don't get. They want to know God and Jesus. They don't want to sit with Him. Big difference, isn't it? When's the last time you sat with somebody and you asked them how they were really doing and they just lost it on you? What'd you do? Did you fix them? Or did you let God dwell in them? Think about that. You know, training for counseling has helped me believe that God can use me. He can use every single person in this room. Young, more mature, I said. I didn't say old. More mature. Whatever. He can use you. He's allowed God to help me grow so I can provide help to others. And He's helped me to be more in touch with a broken and helpless world. Our world is broken, guys. It is broken. As much as we want to believe it's not, it's broken. It doesn't mean you have to be pessimistic. You just got to be honest. And when you're honest, you can dwell in God. Now, these things have opened my heart to greater needs. But I believe that without pure, holy dwelling with God, it's really difficult to experience what He really wants you to experience. It takes time. We're busy, right? I know some of you guys get on the road at 4 in the morning. Get up at 4, get on the road at 5. I know. But we can all dwell in God in some way. Dwelling can be scary. When you dwell, you open up yourself to get hurt. Anybody with me on that? You just want to go, man, I'm good. You know, you study the Bible with somebody, I'm good, man, I'm good. I'm good. Two studies is awesome with me. You talk to your husband or your wife, I'm good. I don't want you to help me anymore with that. You're limiting the power of Jesus. You're stopping Him. I've done it. I've hurt my wife, my kids, people. I was one of those guys. Still am. But when you can learn to dwell, you can change that. You could become somebody you're not. Decide to dwell this morning. Dwell when the Bible study is going on. Dwell when the singing's going on. Don't talk. Don't look at your phone. Dwell in God. Dwell in Him later. Go to the river. You guys live in a beautiful place here. Not that I don't live in a beautiful place in Potomac Valley, but I can't go 5 minutes outside the city and go, man, I'm in the mountains. I can't drive 20 minutes to Harper's Ferry. When's the last time you went to Harper's Ferry and sat on a rock? Amen. And looked at the Potomac River and said, God, help us. Man, that's awesome. Secondly, my second point, if you're going to get the power to dwell, then you'll have the power to excel. The power to dwell first, then you can have the power to excel. In Greek, I'm going to try this Greek word again for excel. My Greek's kind of off. I think it's parisio. It means to exceed the ordinary. It means to overflow. Like a bathtub, like a waterfall, like a flood. Like last Wednesday, I think, when it flooded. It flooded here? Flooded where I was. In Ephesians 3:21, I'll read this again. It says, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Not your glory. Not your buddy's glory, not your kid's glory, but God's glory. See, Jesus desires to raise us up in God's glory. You know, we always go, man, I want the glory of God, right? Do we really know what that is? Do we really know? Because we think we do. I think I do. I know exactly what God wants me to do. But that's not always the case. As a matter of fact, most of the time it's not the case. Because we're not allowing God to lift us up in His glory. Mm-hmm. His generations. You know, in the news, it's so funny, or in the religious world, people act like everything's okay. They act like everything's okay. Everybody's okay, and we're praising Jesus, and we're having contemporary worships, and we're doing this. And guys, guess what? We're part of that too. We're not immune from that as churches. It's time for us to realize that we're not immune from it and do something about it. Not because somebody tells you to do it or somebody claims to do it or some crazy guy in a black Nike shirt comes in and speaks to you about doing it. Oh, that's me. Because you are called to do that. When you studied the Bible, when you realized you had not made Jesus your Lord. When you make Jesus your Lord, everything changes. A couple of scriptures to reference with this. Isaiah 42:8 talks about how God is selfish about His glory. He doesn't want to give it to you unless you want to be in it.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:31 says, you do everything to His glory. You take a shower to His glory. You run to His glory. I'm running in this half marathon, the Marine Corps this year. I ran last year. I had to run through His glory because if I ran it with me, I wouldn't have finished. It was tough. Everything you do, you go to school, you do your studies to His glory.
Amen.
You stand up to your buddies who want to talk about bullying somebody to His glory. Amen. You talk to your wife to His glory. Amen. Something I've had to learn. You respect people who don't want to do what you want to His glory. It's not easy. But you're called to do it if you're a disciple.
Amen.
So think about this. What if you came face to face with Jesus? You don't think about that because we can't see Him, right? He's a spirit, right? But what if you came face to face with Him? In the movie Risen, I'm not going to give it away because it's a great movie. It really is good. And I'm very skeptical about these Christian movies.
Yeah.
But it's really well done. They nailed it. Sony did it. They nailed it. They see Him and He goes away. They see Him and He goes away. But when they see Him, they're like, He's here. Do you think about Him being here with you face to face? Would you be the way you are now if He was with you all the time? Physically? Or would you just kind of go in and out? It's tough. I go in and out. I have to think about that. I was convicted watching this movie. Convicted. And I've been the guy standing up for years, doing the messages, leading the churches. But I was convicted. I was humbled. What does it mean for you spiritually? It may mean something different for everybody. One thing it does mean, though, is it's time for us to increase our faith as personal disciples of Jesus. Not personal disciples of the pews, because you're not. You're personal disciples of Jesus.
Right.
He owns you.
Yes.
He makes you. You want to be radical one day? You want to do something crazy in your life? Become a Christian as a teen. Become a disciple on campus. Fight the battle of atheism and other things that are going on in evangelical Christianity. Because it's real. And they think it's true. It's not. Absolute truth comes from the Spirit in your walk with God. You've got to excel in that. You know, there's a reason there's a reason that at the end of the Gospels, Jesus gave specific direction to the disciples that he was leaving. I'm going away. I'm not going to be here anymore. You won't be able to see me. I need you to dwell and excel in who I am right now. Many of us, man, we've lost our faith. We've lost our mojo for God. We've just settled. It's time not to settle anymore. It's time to ask God, what do you want me to do? I get it. You get hurt. You get wounded. You don't get what you want. Hey, I'm the poster child for that. I've been out of the ministry twice. And both times I'm like, what's going on here? I'm charismatic. I've got a great personality. And God's like, no, it ain't about you. And I'm like, man, I have to settle for that. I have to get in my Bible and dwell and excel in God and His Spirit. What does He want? You know, He knew there'd be a time when Jesus would physically not be there. And He knew the disciples needed to be tested with that. You know, this kind of works the same way with your leadership. If you think about it, you have to ask God what He wants you to do, and you need to go try to do it. Because if you don't, you're just going to be waiting for somebody to tell you to do it. Is it going to happen if you do that? Probably not. But God wants you to dwell in Him so you can go do it. You know, to allow God's power to overflow and dominate your heart takes work. Another word that people in the world don't believe is true. There is work to be done in your relationship with God. And moving forward is going to take work. If you think about it this way, I am sure that there are people here that God is talking to personally, going, man, I need to move. I need to move. I need to do something. Are you here? Are you in this room? I need to do something. And there's others that have been stuck in the same place with their relationship with God, and they really want to jump off the bridge. They want to go. I need to repent. I need to let go. Are they in here too? Okay. And then there's some that you've been studying the Bible with, that you know it's time to go, hey, man, what's keeping you, what's holding you back? What's scaring you? What are you afraid of? Let me dwell with you. Let me pray with you. Let me love you. Let me exonerate you with God. It's time. Just here, all over the kingdom of God. All over the kingdom, meaning churches that teach salvation doctrine. Are you with me on that?
Right.
Salvation doctrine. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of
Holy Spirit.
Okay, and I'll be with you forever to the end of the age. If you were to envision Frederick going forward from today, from right now, this day right here, if we were in a brainstorming session, which what this is, it's like a Holy Spirit brainstorm, and what would you see? Would you see strong and faithful relationships that love? I believe you love each other. I'm not saying you don't love each other. But when you love each other and you dwell in it, it's different. People see it, man. They want it. How about healthy numerical growth? Healthy numerical growth. I said those three words, right? See, when you love and you internalize, you build right. You don't rely on the leadership. You rely on Jesus. That's why Jesus left. He said, you're in charge. Peter, who about killed all the disciples, you know? He's crazy. I love Peter. How about the opportunity to invest fully in a local staff and region? Wouldn't that be awesome? All of a sudden, you're loving each other, and boom, those spirits, and you're out there. You're on the edge. You remember when you became a disciple, whether it was in D.C. or Frederick, or I don't know where you got converted, Boston. You guys are from a lot of places. The International Church of Christ in Frederick. Finally, you watch God's power inhabit each of your lives. It inhabits you. You're stuck in it. God wants to launch, but we have to let him do that. So I appreciate you guys letting me share some thoughts. I'm in a battle too. I got to launch. I've been launching. I don't know which ship I'm launching off of, but I've been learning a lot. It's been a journey. But it's time for us to forget the past and move forward and get back to being disciples and seeing God's plan move forward. Thank you guys very, very much. Appreciate it.